We're exploring alternative protein options that closely mimic the taste and texture of beef and chicken. Can you tell in your cooking? It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now let's discuss our fall membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Ellen Clark. Hi, Ellen.
Good morning. Very interested in this hour's topic.
Oh, me too. And we're here to say you rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions. And we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
That's exactly right. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now, this minute, makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. You know, we take it one pledge at a time, as we say. And, you know, last hour we heard from a number of people, I think 16 donors in all.
Nice.
Thank you, everyone who gave. And the goal this hour is to get to 20 gifts. And these goals are set to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
Okay, 20 gifts. Let's meet this goal this hour. It happens one gift at a time, and we will start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a large slice of funding for WPR programs. In fact, the biggest slice of all, the biggest piece of the pie is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state, federal, businesses, super important, it's your contribution, yours, that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is. Thank you to your support. So let's keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here at WPR, we have a core group of supporters who continue to give, and they give generously. They contribute because they depend on this vital resource. Maybe you rely on WPR too, and for whatever reason, you haven't given yet.
Well, we're here to tell you that WPR relies on new donors just like you, to grow and to keep high-quality programs on the air. So today is the day. Show your support.
This is it.
This is it. WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, or any amount that's right for you, that's all it takes.
You could win an extra $250 to spend at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Stock up on the healthy food you know you should eat more of, or splurge on your favorite snacks. Five lucky winners will receive a gift card for their local grocery store. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift now. Here's how.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Ellen Clark. You know, it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you love. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Mm-hmm. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we're not going to make it hard on you. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. We'll need your name, we'll need your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you know, those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget about that goal. We're looking for 16 more people to join in this hour to reach our goal. Mm-hmm. And you make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And think about that added bonus for supporting programs you love. Your donation enters you into the drawing for the $250 grocery gift card. How practical is that?
You'll love it.
I know.
Now, see, I'm wondering. I'm guessing employees can't enter, right?
No, we are out of it. We are totally out of it, Ellen. But you out there, you have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. All the details, WPR.org/drawing. And better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, we love you. Those making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
You are automatically entered, and your gift is so very powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking at how plant-based proteins are gaining ground in the American diet and products that are taking aim at the meat lovers market. According to Allied Market Research, the food and beverage industry is embracing animal protein and driving up demand globally. Estimated growth worldwide could reach $58 billion in coming years. So throwing out name brands here, do you cook with alternative protein products like Boca or Morningstar? Why do you prefer them to animal meat? Have you ever tricked your family with a recipe when they thought it was real meat? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Emily Hennessy is a policy associate with the Good Food Institute. That's a nonprofit advocacy group promoting alternative proteins. Emily, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me this morning.
Well, it seems like there are so many more options for us now in the supermarket. Can you kind of give us the lay of the land on how these plant-based protein has expanded and what the offerings are?
Absolutely. We've seen really massive growth in this sector in recent years. In 2020, between 2019 and 2020, the U.S. plant-based meat retail sales grew actually 45%. And about 18% of U.S. households now purchase plant-based meat. So we've seen really impressive growth in this area. But the plant-based meat market it's still just about 3% of retail packaged meat sales. So, you know, there's been lots of buzz around this industry, but it's still small and there's still really significant room for lots of growth and more diversity of products on the market.
I know you're really clued in on the business side of this. How has research and development spurred like these new product lines and also changed the taste of fake meat in recent years?
Yeah, so at the Good Food Institute, we believe that public research funding is a really key aspect to the growth of the alternative protein market. One great example of that is that some research that was done at the University of Missouri led to Beyond Meat and some of the foundation of the technology that Beyond Meat uses. And that was publicly funded research funded by the USDA, which has now led to the creation of this extremely successful company. And so we think that more research is definitely needed in this space that will help in bring costs down for consumers, as well as increase the diversity of products on the market. So many of you have probably seen ground beef products and, you know, chicken nuggets or chicken patties. But if we want to, you know, think about all of the animal products that people currently love to eat, we don't have alternatives for all of those products yet. You know, there's not a steak, a plant-based steak on the market or a salmon fillet. There's a lot of room for improvement around plant-based dairy products, especially cheeses, things like that. So, public research funding is really key to unlocking the full potential of the alternative protein industry.
Let's take a look at fast food here for a moment. You know, we've seen Burger King with its Impossible Whopper, White Castle has Impossible Sliders. Earlier this month, McDonald's announced its own vegan burger. How have fast food options been changing with these products?
The fast food industry is really embracing the world of alternative proteins. You know, everything from, like you said, Burger King and McDonald's to Chipotle and Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. So I think they see that there's consumer demand and consumer interest for these products, and they want to give consumers options. So I think that we're just at the beginning phases of this, and that we'll continue to see even more options on these menus in the years to come.
I want to look at what's in the ingredient labels, because, you know, we've heard about preservatives, other additives. The Center for Consumer Freedom has really gone after the industry, saying these products contain dozens of chemical additives. What is your response?
It's a great question. And, you know, when you look at the label of, you know, conventionally produced ground beef at the grocery store, it doesn't include all of the feed and the antibiotics and the other things that were given to the animal throughout their life. And so I think labels are slightly misleading in that sense. But I think that people choose alternative proteins for a variety of reasons. And some of them choose them for health benefits. Other people are choosing them for environmental impacts. They're significant. They have significantly less impact on the environment. And that's an increasingly important part of consumers' food preferences and food choices. So I think that it's great that there's a diversity of products on the market, and consumers can choose what works best for them and their family.
We're going to look more at health and the environment with Emily Hennessy, who works on policy for the Good Food Institute, as we discuss the future of alt proteins. Are you reluctant to try an alternative or plant-based protein substitute in your recipes? What questions do you have about them? How do you think your family would react if you tried serving them a plant-based protein instead of that burger or chicken nugget? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this ahead on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the future of plant-based meat alternatives and what they mean for our diets in the face of climate change. Now let's get a check on our fall member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Ellen Clark, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this about fake meat, alternative protein. Your support makes that happen, because listener support is actually the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 16 more people to join in this hour, and that means you. But also, thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
And you rely on Kate and her team on the morning show to start your day with guest experts and insightful conversation. Like today, we're talking about fake meat and the potential of this industry. Your support makes these morning conversations possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
And many people give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you. Maybe become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Show off your support for the programs you love with the new WPR baseball cap. This tan-colored hat is both hip and practical.
It's right there on your head in case a pop fly comes out and you need to nab it from midair.
I would use this hat to hold extra apples when we go apple picking in the fall.
If I were at a party where we wanted to do door prizes, I could take off my WPR cap and we could use it to collect the tickets.
Ask for your WPR baseball cap now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Ellen Clark, and it's your support during this fall member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And if you've already renewed making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so very much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are truly the backbone of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Indeed. And if you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, join the club. When 12 more people support WPR programs this hour, we will meet our goal. And Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered. That's why your gift right now helping us meet this goal is so very important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR baseball cap. It will be your new favorite accessory. It can do many things, including at parties.
Yeah. So, I love it.
I know, me too. Give $10 a month or more. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A shout out to Thomas in Pewaukee who says, love all the programs, but especially the WPR and the Ideas Network programs, the local programs and the news, they really keep me tuned in. So good to hear that from you, Thomas. Thank you. Your gift right now, so critical. Join Thomas at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Plant-based products are breaking into the mainstream after years in which veggie and black bean burgers were the only products in the freezer case. And now that section, oh my goodness, it's growing so much. And even faux fish landing in restaurants. And one big question is cost. Will the meatless meat come down in price and rival real meat? Have you noticed your favorite restaurant adding alt protein dishes to the menu? Have you tried them? Join in, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Emily Hennessy is a policy associate with the Good Food Institute, stays with us. Emily, we heard from Anna in Janesville, called in, couldn't stay here, but wonders what meat alternatives are available to people who are allergic to soy. Could you help her out?
That's a great question. And there are quite a few products that do use soy products, but then there are also some that don't. So Beyond, for example, they use pea protein. And so I'd encourage you to check that out. There are also some products that use wheat gluten instead of soy. So I'd encourage you to go to your local grocery store and take a look in either the fresh or frozen aisle, and just turn the package around and do a little exploration of some of the products that are available out there, because there are definitely plenty out there that don't include soy products.
So, Emily, you know, alternative proteins like Beyond are really trying not to be the alternative. They're trying to replace meat. Why are they trying, you know, to really be, you know, be a replacement perhaps? Or is it just an additional option? What is the approach here?
So I think the big picture is that we want to be able to give people choices. And these products are giving people another choice that's environmentally friendly and also has some pretty significant health benefits. So, you know, the target customer for these products is not the person who's already a vegan or the vegetarian who every day is eating a, you know, a black bean grain bowl with quinoa and kale. The target customer here is consumers who love to eat animal products and are interested in diversifying their diet and trying something new that has less of an impact on the world around them.
You alluded to this earlier, but these alternative proteins, they're not inexpensive. Animal meat, far cheaper. How do alternative protein producers plan to address the cost barriers?
So reaching price parity with animal-based meat is a really important step towards the widespread adoption of plant-based meat. And in recent years, we've seen prices come down, actually. So several plant-based meat companies are moving closer to price parity. Last year, for example, Impossible Foods cut the price of its plant-based meat products by about 15% for food service distributors. And we expect to see more of that happen in the coming years. But as I mentioned earlier, public research funding is going to be really crucial to help bring costs down for alternative proteins, while also improving tastes and making them more available and accessible to Americans.
Let's look at the climate impact here. Agriculture being responsible for 10% of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions as of 2019. That's from the EPA. What would be the impact if a person replaced some of their animal meat consumption with a plant-based meat alternative?
Well, it's a great way to reduce your environmental impact on a day-to-day basis. So if you think about it just from a really fundamental basis, eating plants is so much more efficient than growing plants and then feeding them to animals and eating those animals. So even after you account for the processing that's required to turn plants into plant-based meat, every study to date finds that replacing conventional meat with plant-based meat substantially reduces the environmental impacts. So, for instance, compared to conventional meat, plant-based meat can reduce greenhouse gas emissions by nearly 90%. And water use by up to 99%. And as these companies continue to innovate, we know that they're going to be able to make alternative proteins even more efficient as they scale up. So if you're concerned about your carbon footprint, I encourage you to consider incorporating alternative proteins into your diet.
Emily Hennessy with us from the Good Food Institute, an international nonprofit working on food systems. Do you put alt meat patties on the grill? What are your tips for cooking them? What have you heard about preservatives and plant-based meat alternatives that you want clarity on? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Emily Hennessy. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're exploring whether alt meat is a step toward addressing climate change and how the impact on food systems is globally. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get an update on our fall membership drive at WPR. I'm here with Ellen Clark. Hi, Ellen.
Good morning.
We're here to say, as WPR listeners, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in. And that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the morning show, you make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
You absolutely do. We've got about 25-ish minutes left to this hour, and we are looking for 9 more people to join in. Your gift right now is so very important, because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. We truly mean that. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in this hour, we're learning a lot about meatless meat. Mm-hmm. It's a really important topic right now with climate change and our environmental impact. And quite frankly, it's making me hungry, and I think I'm stopping at the grocery store. on my way home. But these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
That's right. WPR is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. Mm-hmm. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And it's really easy to spend a dollar a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Or whatever snack Ellen's going to pick up at the grocery store.
It's going to be meatless, I know that.
Well, consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day or $30 a month is just the right donation for you. So sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
John, thank you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Ellen Clark, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all these programs that you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we do count on it. And you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening right now. Now make the decision to support WPR financially.
And member contributions, they power the programs you rely on. So your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It supports your future listening.
And we've got about 20 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 9 more people to join in. You, we are looking for you. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, your donation enters you into the drawing for the $250 grocery card. In fact, you have 5 chances to win that gift card. So give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, we love you. We need you. And those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Linda from Winneconne says, I love listening to WPR on my way to and from work. Me too, Linda. Cassie in Green Bay says, my husband and I just moved to Green Bay, and it's critically important to support your local radio station. Mm. It makes you smarter and supports your community. A twofer.
I love the twofer. Mm-hmm. Your gift is powerful at WPR.org, and thank you for your support. We're discussing how the meat substitute industry is seeing big growth, what it means for the planet and our diet. Even as plant-based sales remain a small fraction of animal meat sales, there is significant momentum. According to the New York Times, last year Beyond Meat sold about 73 million pounds of product. What do you think about taste? Is alt meat tasting more like real meat? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Emily Hennessy is a policy associate with the Good Food Institute. Stays with us. Let's bring in a call now. Bill joining us from Superior. Hi, Bill. What are your thoughts on fake meat?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, that's just kind of what I'm leaning towards. I'm a carnivore. I eat meat, hunt meat, you know, hunt animals for food. And I have all my entire life and always will. And I really don't care what other people eat. You can do whatever you want. But it's kind of, I'm kind of leaning towards kind of like the milk debate, milk to fake milk. I mean, meat, the actual definition of meat is flesh from an animal, whether it's fish, bird, mammal. So we I think we need to stop calling this what it's not. We need to stop calling it meat, and because substitute meat, alternative to meat, stuff like that. But we really cannot call it a plant-based meat.
Bill, thank you so much for your thoughts. Emily, go ahead on concerns around calling it fake meat.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Bill, and for that comment. So there are lots of, you know, people have lots of feelings around how these products should be labeled. And in general, we think that if you think about products like milk and meat and cheese, it's there are lots of examples throughout throughout the grocery store of having a name and adding a modifier to the beginning of that. And that modifier helps define and clarify what we mean by that product. So, you know, there's really no evidence of any sort of consumer confusion that soy milk comes from soybeans and that plant-based beef comes from plants and not beef. You know, if you think about how to label some of these products without using meat terms, it's really kind of challenging to figure out how you would label them. So something like a sausage, a plant-based sausage, what would we call it if you couldn't use the term sausage? Is it a plant-based tube, a plant-based stick?
That wouldn't go over in Wisconsin where we know our sausage.
Right. And so using these meat terms helps inform consumers about what you do with this product. You know, if it's soy milk or almond milk, you pour it over your coffee in the morning, you use it in your cereal. If it's a plant-based burger, you know, you grill it out, you put it on a patty. I'm a proponent of using these terms so that consumers are clear about what you should do with these products and how to consume them.
But Emily, is there kind of a marketing conundrum here? Because, you know, fake meat doesn't really sound great as well. It doesn't sound very appealing. You know, does this need a brand makeover? How do you approach that?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think time will tell. You know, I prefer the term alternative proteins and plant-based meat over terms like fake meat. Because again, you know, if you look throughout history, you know, there are references even in the Bible that, you know, that meat is something that comes from, it means all sorts of food products. I think that consumer demand and will help inform companies about how to best label these products. And we may see different companies making different decisions about how to best label products.
You know, Americans have a long history of eating beef, but we also see the climate crisis before our eyes. Some people stop eating meat or begin eating less for environmental reasons. Can you help us understand what is the difference in production and the environmental impact of animal versus alternative meat?
Yeah, so in terms of looking at industrial produced beef, in the U.S. compared to plant-based beef, there are some pretty extreme environmental differences. So obviously, most of us are aware that beef contributes significantly to climate change, particularly methane production, and that's significantly less with the production of plant-based beef. You know, up to 90% of greenhouse gas emissions can be reduced in plant-based meat production versus conventional beef production. I do want to recognize that there are lots of different ways that animals are raised in the U.S. You know, these are there are more regenerative and grass-fed methods, and then there's also the really industrial methods, and that when we make these comparisons, we're typically comparing them to the really industrialized production methods.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Emily Hennessy with the Good Food Institute. She's a policy associate, and this is an international nonprofit working on food systems. Let's go to Katie now in Janesville. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. Ruminants like cows and anything with four stomachs have the ability to break down the cellulose in the plants and the grasses and stuff that they eat. Humans do not have that capacity. What kind of processing and chemicals and such do the plant-based products have to go through in order to make it so that the human body can actually digest it?
Emily, yeah, go ahead.
That's a great question. So right now, the primary ingredients in a lot of plant-based products are things like soy and wheat and to a growing extent, pea protein. But we're also seeing ingredients like different types of mushrooms being used and other sorts of legumes. And so these are all products that humans consume throughout their day in a variety of different food sources. Different plant-based products are processed in different ways. Some use what's called extrusion technology, and extrusion is one way that you can get the kind of really meaty texture in plant-based meat. And most plant-based meat companies are actually using equipment that was originally made for other food products, including meat processing, as well as processing of cereals and other sorts of products that we see on our grocery shelves every day. So from a processing perspective, these technologies aren't significantly different than other food processing technology that has been used for decades throughout our food supply.
Katie, thanks for the question. Emily, when did you start eating alternative proteins, and what are some of your favorite ways to cook, with these products at home today?
So I've been kind of a flexitarian in various levels of that term throughout my life. I, remember as a kid, as you mentioned earlier, kind of the early, veggie burgers and mm-hmm. black bean burgers. I definitely ate those as a young kid, and have explored different plant-based meat products as they've come onto the market in recent years. And I think for me, one of my favorite ways to use plant-based meats is in something like a veggie stir fry, taking whatever vegetables are fresh from my garden or I have in the fridge that need to be used up and making a yummy stir fry and throwing a plant-based pork or a plant-based chicken into the mix for some protein and putting that on top of some rice or noodles or something like that.
And how does it hold up in your cooking, as you do that stir frying on your stove? How do you see these products holding up?
I think they do really well. I think it's important to, read the label and read the cooking instructions, because sometimes the cooking instructions are slightly different than mm-hmm. they might be for what you're used to for your, for other meat products. But I think if you follow those instructions, it's almost always quite delicious.
Where is this industry headed?
There are lots of market projections about what we're going to see in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And I think based on the growth and the consumer demand and the diversity of products that are coming onto the market, that we're definitely going to continue to see that momentum build, and time will tell.
Oh, so basically you're just kind of holding out and seeing what, certainly there is a boom now, but you have so much more growth potential, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think this is a short-term fad that we're going to see kind of peak and then go down. I think that the growing recognition of the connection between climate change and food and agriculture, paired with the diversity of products that we're seeing coming to market. And as we talked about earlier, the prices coming down for a lot of these products, I think all of those things are going to really mesh together, and that we're going to continue to see growing consumer demand, and that these products will continue to grow in our marketplace and become more available and more accessible to all Americans.
Emily, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Emily Hennessy, she is policy associate with the Good Food Institute, a nonprofit advocacy group promoting alternative proteins. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Thank you for being with us for the fall membership drive here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Ellen Clark, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for these interesting conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That's exactly right. Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the other shows you enjoy possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
A few minutes left this hour and just a few more people to join in to stay on track for these hourly goals. We need three more pledges. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener-powered, and that means your donation right now makes a huge difference at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You know, one thing I absolutely love about The Morning Show and being the host is you learn so much every day, talk to so many different people. And today we are learning about alternative meat and or fake meat, if you want to call it that. And just all the push-pull and the growth of the industry. These are the kinds of conversations that you count on from The Morning Show.
Every single day, every weekday, WPR is listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And join Team WPR and sport the new WPR baseball cap with the WPR logo on the front. You show off your public radio pride wherever you go. So, you know, you can wear it on a hike, to a ball game, to the grocery store. And this cap will be your new favorite accessory no matter where you go. So ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio for shows we all know and love. But WPR is more than radio.
I am Andrea Anderson. I'm an online news producer. We work closely with reporters across the state to create something that they're proud of that's online, that people can go to WPR.org and read, and it's really an expansion of what people hear on the radio. We have a lot of different diverse content that comes onto WPR.org on a daily basis.
Wisconsin Public Radio. It's more than radio. And when you give, you're a big part of what makes it all happen.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Ellen Clark, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs to rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
It is the right amount. The main thing is that you join in. Three people. We need three more people to join in the next few minutes, and we will meet this hour's goal. We can do that with your help. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's the deal. You might spend a few dollars a month or more on a TV streaming or movie subscription service and think about paying for your WPR usage that same way. And after all, you join in, you tune in every day for information and entertainment.
So if you've never given before, start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month. That's comparable to what, Netflix or HBO or Disney Plus. Maybe it's even a better deal. It's really easy to set up to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as Ellen said, we're down to the wire, folks. We need just three more pledges to stay on track, three more gifts. You make it all possible when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, maybe consider becoming one right now. It's really easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Jen in Middleton who says, I just moved to Wisconsin and listen to WPR every day at work. I love the local programming. David in Eau Claire says WPR fills my commute to and from work. Jen and David, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. Join them at WPR.org and thank you for your support.